So we want to talk about something that is kind of a continuation of what we spoke the previous class, is the ability of seeing the good in everything. And unfortunately, most people, they don't know how to find their happiness. A few things going on in their life, it throws them off and they're very unhappy. The reality is that most people are unhappy. Very few people are very simple, they appreciate what they have, and it causes them to be happy because they're able to see the good in everything. If I'm not able to see the good in everything, then it will ultimately make me unhappy. The reason why I'm not going to see the good in everything is because I don't believe that everything came from Hashem, and my level of belief, if I have to grade my belief, is not so high, so I don't believe it came from Hashem, then it will cause me to be unhappy. This is a kind of like a circle. Now, unfortunately, now, and like in all the other trips that I go on, we have lectures in the morning, we have lectures at night, and in between there are meetings. And the meetings, unfortunately, are short because we have to squeeze in a lot of people. But it's meeting after meeting after meeting, it's only hearing bad things. Nobody comes to tell me, I just wanted to tell you, I'm so proud of my kids, and my husband is amazing, and money's coming from all directions, and we had a beautiful vacation. Nobody comes to say that. Everybody comes to complain about all their problems. And this is bad, and that is bad, and this is going on like this, and this is going on like that. So the reality is the majority of people, and I'm not chas v'shalom saying it to hurt anybody, but the reality of most people are not really happy. They're not happy with their marriage life, they're not married with their happy with their job, they're not married with where they live, they're not happy with their community. But the majority of this situation is by not focusing on the good in everything. It was not too long ago we had a student, they moved away from here. If you remember in the beginning, it doesn't matter who it is, but she used to come here, and every time she would complain. And she always had questions, and everybody around would be like, again, she's going off on her rants. And one time, she was complaining and complaining about her husband, and I told her, you know, that at least you have a husband. You know how many women don't have a husband? And I told her, just go 15 kilometers north from here, there's a grave called Amuka. Go there and you'll hear the women crying for a husband. You have a husband. And you know what? I met your husband. He's a very nice guy. He's actually probably much nicer than an average individual. How he treats you and how he behaves nice to you. He thinks highly of you. And you're able to only pick the negative in him. And then the next week she would complain about that the house is too small, and it's this, and it's old. And after 2 hours of complaining, I told her, you know, at least you have a home. And you know how many people don't have a home? And how many people, they sleep in their car and sleep in a box, and you have a home. And every week was a different complaint. And then she was complaining about her health. You know, so this part of your health is not that great, but you can walk, you can breathe, you can see, you can use your limbs. And the bottom line was that just her entire attitude was very, very negative. And you know, there's the old saying of looking at the full cup, full part of the cup, and the empty part of the cup. But the reality is that it's how we look at things. Now, we just learned now about the month of Av, and we talked about in the beginning of the week about the portion of the Torah, Va'etchanan, that we learned about, that the Torah is basically telling me that I have to love Hashem. Va'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha in Kriyat Shema. How can I love something I never saw and that I don't have any relationship with? And how is really the Torah expecting me to love Hashem? I never met him. I never saw him. I don't talk to him. I don't see that everything is coming from him. If he would appear to me twice a week, with a box full of money, I would love him because I would see who's sending it to me. The point is that everything that I get is only coming from Hashem. There's no other entity in the universe that is delivering to me anything. And since everything is coming from Hashem, it can only be good. There's no such a thing, even though some people think that, there's no such a thing that Hashem is sitting in the heavens with a bunch of angels and they're like, okay, let's see how we're going to make her life miserable now. You know, Hashem doesn't do that. There's no such a concept even. Our sages say, "En ra yored min ha-shamayim." Bad does not come down from the heavens. So it cannot be that Hashem sends something and is negative. There's no such a thing. There's no such a reality. The point to take from that is the problem is in me, not in the giver. The giver, who is Hashem, he's complete, he's whole. There's nothing wrong with the giver. The problem is in the receiver. And I'm on the receiving end. If I don't know how to receive the message the right way, then I will see it as a very negative thing. If I would look at the positive in everything, then I will be able to pull out how everything is good. And Hashem will take me somewhere. You know, we have a relative that they made recently, they moved to Israel. The husband was very, very excited about the whole move. He initiated the move. And the wife was not so into the move. And with some help from above, somehow he was able to convince her and they moved to Israel. He is flying in a completely different mode and she was in the beginning pretty upset here. She didn't know the language, it was very hard for her to learn the language. Everything was hard, she couldn't find a job because she didn't know the language. Everything seemed very negative. And then at some point her son became sick. Which that was to top it all, now the son becomes sick. And in the course of looking for the cure, they went to a doctor. And as they were at the doctor of course was speaking to them in English because she doesn't know how to speak Hebrew. And of course in the conversation, oh, you speak English, where did you come from? And in Israel, the one of the first few questions in an encounter is, what do you do for a living? I don't know if it's something Jewish or if it's something Israeli. What do you do? What do you care what I do? Why are you in my business? What do you do? So he asked her, what do you do? What did you did? So she said that she can't find a job, A, because she can't speak Hebrew. And more than that, that her profession doesn't exist in Israel, and that's a physician assistant. In America, in America, that's a pretty common position, a physician assistant. In Israel, there's no such a position. There's either a nurse or a doctor. Long story short, in a physician assistant, that's practically a doctor. Just you just don't have the fancy plate with the MD. But the knowledge and what the physician assistant does is almost equivalent to a doctor. Long story short, she told him she's a physician assistant, and he offered her an unbelievable job, knowing that she has qualifications. So he invented a job for her. So you could look at everything as a chain reaction of negative things. And then I kept telling her, you see, you thought that your child getting sick is a negative thing, which actually Hashem brought you to the doctor. So the child got cured. And if you had just a little bit of a more happy energy and a little bit more happier outlook of life, then you wouldn't see that it's negative. Then you can see the diamonds that Hashem is delivering to you. Instead of whining and complaining and kvetching, Hashem says, why are you kvetching all the time? I'm bringing you in a way that is not so obvious to where you need to come. So, you know, one can say with the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had to kill the Egyptian guard. And then it was found out by Paro and he had to run away from Mitzrayim. So one can look at it as a very negative thing, but another person can look at it as a very positive thing. He went to the well, he met his wife, and they got married. And they were married for many years after that, kids together. So in everything that Hashem does, if you're looking at it in a very superficial way, then it will look very negative. But if you are able to stop and to observe, wait a minute, Hashem has put me somewhere. Must be that it has to be something good here. And if Hashem had put me here, then I have to find out what's the good thing that came out of it. And if I don't, then I'll see the negative in it. If I'm able to sift around, I will focus on the good, I will be able to see what's good in it, and I will be able to see why did Hashem put me there, and what was I able to benefit from that fact. Now the reality is that not always I'm able to see the good in things. Sometimes something bad happens, I will only see the bad, and I will not see later on what was the benefit. So, for example, if you remember when I came back from the trip from London, I shared with you the entire story. I was stuck on the highway, but I had food with me, and everything was like Hashem was taking, like Hashem was telling me, I am going to make you stuck on the highway, but I'll make sure you have food, and you have drinks, and you have snacks. And when a lot of people told me, so okay, the story is nice and the attitude is good, but what came up good from that? What was good from what it came out? So sometimes the good is not revealed. Maybe Chas V'Shalom down the line on the highway was supposed to be a very big accident, and I would Chas V'Shalom get into that accident. Or Chas V'Shalom something would happen with the plane, or I don't know what. The reality is that if something happened, it must be good because Hashem did it, and sometimes I just don't see the result. I don't know if you remember, but the first class, the first lecture we had here in Be'er Miriam, I shared a story that I had maybe 7-8 years ago about my trip to Montana. And a few Shabbos ago, we had a nice Suda Shlishit, and I shared that story again with a little bit more excitement. But it's a very, very special story, how for 3 days I got lost around the universe. I missed flights. I drove through the Rockies. I went through, you can't even imagine what I went through. 3 days I was eating apples. I didn't have where to sleep. They didn't even let me to cross the border from Canada to New York, from America into Canada. You can't even imagine what I went through. And all that was for me to meet one Jew and to put tefillin on him. And the story is very, very exciting. But the man that drove me 12 hours through the Rockies was this unbelievable individual that we had a lot of hours to talk. We drove literally from a city in Montana that is called Kalispell, and we drove through the Rockies into Canada, and then it was snowing, and we had to come back. So we had a lot of time to talk. And he was, of course, observant. And when we spoke in the hours in the car, so he asked me what made me observant, and I asked him what made him observant. And he told me that he was traveling in Europe, and was like a hippie or whatever it was, totally not connected to Hashem. And one time he was driving in Germany on one of the highways, the autobahns, and he missed the exit, and he got off the highway. And he said that he got so upset. He had obviously a problem with anger. He got so upset and so hyped up that it took him like half an hour to make a U-turn until, every exit can be sometimes 20 miles till the next exit. It took him like half an hour to return to the place where he left off. And he told me that he saw this massive accident with a big trucks and many cars, 20-30 cars were involved in the car accident. And he said, that's when I realized that something is guarding me from above that made me get off the highway. Because if I would not get off the highway, I would be either severely injured in this accident or dead. And he said, that's what made me realize that there's a force from above that is guiding me, saving me, and making sure that I'm supposed to be where I'm supposed to be. And that's how he started searching for Hashem. And sometimes we don't see the good in the action that Hashem does. Sometimes I do see the good, like my relative that ended up getting a job at the doctor. And if you're very sensitive, you'll see that 50% of the time of all these things that look negative, if you were gonna make some type of an analogy, you'll see the good in it. And sometimes it's not going to be so obvious. Sometimes it's going to be very, very concealed, and you're not going to be able to see it. Sometimes you can guess. You know, not too long ago, on one of my travels, my wife, with the fermenting that she does, she buys this very special salt. And it's very refined. Doesn't have all sorts of junk in it. It doesn't have magnesium and all these things that it's usually placed in salt. And it's not, I always find it hard to say the word, oxidized. Anyways, she always buys this very special salt. And it's very, very refined, so it looks like drugs. And it's also, it's always wrapped in this foil in a very special way because it's sealed with pressure. So I always bring it with me, and it's heavy. So I always carry it with me on the plane. I don't send it in the luggage. Every time I get pulled over, what is this? It looks like drugs. I look like a drug dealer coming with these bags of foil with white powder. So every time I get pulled over, I'm already used to all the questions. So one time I was very, very late to the airport. Like, if you remember, I told you that I have a talent that I'm the last passenger going on the plane, even though in this trip I think the curse is removed. I think the tikkun with the airports is done. This trip, believe it or not, you know, I came 3.5 hours before the flight. It was not unheard of. Something was going on. I was staying in Long Island, and I had to go to an airport in New Jersey because originally I was supposed to leave from New Jersey. And when I looked in the GPS at night, at 3 a.m, it showed me an hour. So they all told me in the 3 a.m, it's an hour. So in rush hour, it's going to be 2.5 hours. So leave 2.5 hours before. As usual, instead of leaving at 7, I left at 10 to 8. Till I packed, till everything. And of course, the regular drill, I was like, okay, you know, the regular, I'll come last minute, everything's gonna be a rush. I don't even know how it happened. The roads open, I was driving 70 miles an hour the whole time. I reached to the airport, it took me an hour, and I reached to the airport 3.5 hours before my flight. I was literally one of the first ones in the terminal. And I was like, wow, I must have done something. The tikkun with the airport is done. That's it. I was literally sitting. I was sending people messages. You're not going to believe. I'm sitting at the terminal. I'm sitting. I'm not running to the airplane without breath. So one time, as the many others, I was late and everything was pushed to the end. And I was literally getting upset and uptight. And then what happened was that I come to the security checkpoint. And there was like hundreds of people there. And I'm like, I'm never going to make it. What happened was that really, how I saw the miracle is that the shift I got exactly when they switched shifts. And the guards, the TSA guards that was in the shift before, were very, they had a bad day. They were pulling everybody over. I saw everybody opening their luggages, and I was so late that I came in exactly when they changed the shift, the beginning of the shift. Everybody was happy. They just let me go with all the salt. She looked at it. What is this? I told her salt. And the funniest thing was my whole bag was with these bags of salt, and it really looks like drugs how it's wrapped with the foil. And on the top was one of my books. So she takes the book and she was like, is that you? And I'm like, yeah, because on the face of the book is my face, of my picture. And I'm like, yeah. And I told her, you want a book? So I gave her a book for free. She was so happy with the book. She didn't even notice about all these salt. And she just let me go. And after the fact, I was like, listen to that. Sometimes, you know, Hashem will make you late, because if I would come 20 minutes earlier or half an hour earlier, I will fall on that shift. And they will take me aside, they will strip me completely, take everything out of my suitcase, and they will probably give me hell. So this is something that is not so obvious, but in my mind I was like, you know what, this is sometimes Hashem's mercy. Because if they, sometimes they do open all my stuff, and they rip all the bags, and you know, they see the beard, the Middle East, I don't even know what's going on in their mind. And I had times that they empty all my bags. I once almost literally missed my flight because they took everything out of my bag. So at that point, it seemed bad that I was late, but you know, after the fact, I was like, you know what, Hashem made me late, so I'll come to the beginning of the shift. The TSA agents were nice, they relaxed, they let me go. So, in essence, everything that Hashem does is only good. Hashem doesn't do anything that is bad. The whole point is just to be able to see the good in everything. And if I'm able to see the good in everything, then I'm always going to be happy, because I'm not going to feel that Hashem is punishing me. I'm going to see bad things too. I'm also, people think that I'm not like any other people. Oh no, I have bills, I have a mortgage to pay, and I have a car and tuition, and I also have six kids. I also have to pay tuition. I also have to pay for food and everything. I'm not different than any other person. People think that, oh no, you don't have problems. Why don't I have problems? I have the exact same problems like any other person. It's just that I don't see it as a problem. I just see it as a step. It's not a problem. If I'm gonna now climb a ladder, the ladder is a problem? No, the ladder is gonna take me from the bottom to above. Now if I'm missing a step, that's already a problem. So I need to have all these steps. So every step in my life is a step in the ladder. And if I think that I can jump a few steps, then I will fall. So the things in my life, they're not problems. They're just another step. And if I'm able to see how everything is positive, and to be able to see that Hashem, everything that He does is good. There's nothing bad. Hashem does not do anything that is bad, even though sometimes something might look good, but it's not. I mean, sometimes some things might look bad, but it's not. You know, many times I something happened and it's the chain of events caused it to be like, wow, if I would not go through the chains of events, I will never come to that point. And usually the chain of events, it's a chain of negative events that will cause me to end up in one place that I will never meet that person. I will never come to this situation without going through these events. So essentially, everything that Hashem does is good. I just need to see the good in everything. And if I'm able to see the good in everything, then I'm able to say, okay, this is one more step closer to the next step that I need to come to. And the point is that when do I not see the good in everything? That I don't believe in Hashem. If I don't believe in Hashem, then well, I will not see that things are not coming from Hashem. If I have 100% belief in Hashem, even though you can't really rate your belief, you can't say, I believe 80%. Nobody can come and say how much percentage you believe. But you can say that if I believe 100%, then I believe that everything comes from Hashem, the good and the bad. But if I'm not believing in Hashem 100%, then what do I believe when it's comfortable? It's the same story that I told you with the guy who was throwing dollar bills from the sky. When everything is good, it's very easy to believe in Hashem, because everything is going well. But when things are not going well, then I tend to leave my belief, and okay, now I don't believe that it's good. I don't believe that it's Hashem. The point is that how am I able to see the good in everything? It's not to buy special glasses and to constantly be like, okay, let me see what's good here. Then I'll never find out what's good here. The point is to come from the back door and to just build my belief. If I build my belief, what's called emunah, then I'll just see everything, because everything, it cannot be bad. Sometimes, you know, a person admires a person. It can be a parent, a teacher, a mentor. Some people really admire another person. And whatever that person will say, oh, if he said it, it has to be perfect. Now, sometimes it's not healthy, but sometimes you see it, you will see it in young couples that a woman will be so in love with her husband and everything he said, oh, this, it has to be perfect because he said that. So in some cases it's not healthy. But when it comes to Hashem, if it came from Hashem, it can only be good. There's no such a thing that can be bad. You know, my son that was just walking around here, I should have called him now just to point it out. He just took a haircut. He has a bald spot here in the back. Up until today, we're laughing from this bald spot. And why does he have this bald spot? Because when he was 2 years old, he was a little bit clumsy. His legs were pointed in. He wasn't so He wasn't walking so straight. Baruch Hashem, it was caught in a very early age, and we were able to align his legs. But in the beginning of when he started walking, it was very like constantly fell. So one time, we lived in New York, and like in most houses in New York, there's basements. So I had like a little working area in the basement, and it was a very tall ceiling. So there was a lot of stairs, and very steep and dangerous stairs. One time he fell down through all the stairs. I'm sitting and working, and I see him just rolling down. And it was like a little bit aggravating because constantly he would fall and would like stop falling already. It was just for a young parent very frustrating. Okay, so he fell down. My wife had a conniption, and I'm pretty cool, and I just came, and first thing that I did is started touching everything to see if anything is broken. Because he, of course, was crying from the shock. And I started touching his head. And then I reached behind the head and I felt this little bump. I move his hair and I see a tick. But in the back of his head, right when the skull meets the bone, you can't really, even if you're washing your hair, you're not going to touch that area. I only felt it because I put my fingers everywhere. And behind here, I feel a little bump and I see a tick. A tick. He was probably playing outside in the kindergarten. The eastern seaboard, the east coast, has a lot of ticks. And he had a tick stuck to his head. And the ticks in the east coast are dangerous. They carry with them Lyme disease. We know somebody that got the Lyme disease from a tick. And there's no really cure for that. And she has seizures and all these attacks. And she's a Hashem erachem what she's going through. So of course we went to the doctor. The doctor was able to pull it out, and in order to make sure that there's no remaining, he burned the whole area. So he has like this real bald spot in the back of his head. So it's funny because he literally just walked in. I don't know if you noticed that he's going to camp today, and he had to get a haircut, and he was very upset because all the places were closed, and I kept telling him go and go. Now he walked in and he goes like this. Suddenly you probably didn't notice. So every time that he gets a haircut, you see the bald spot. But the point is that it seemed that when he fell down, like a tragedy, he fell down. But if he wouldn't fall down, we would never find the tick. And I kept telling my wife, you know, she was upset both from the tick and from falling. And I said, look how Hashem works. He's so kind that he will never touch his head. So of course my wife says, but why did he have to fall for that? Why couldn't Hashem just give us a sign that we will touch his head? And I said, listen, I don't have the answers. I'm not the diplomat of the heavenly court. I don't know why Hashem does that. But obviously Hashem sometimes does something that seems very negative. A, he wants you to praise the miracle. Nothing happened. Chas v'shalom, he could have broken his hand, his head, or... First, Hashem does things as he wants you to appreciate the miracle. But more than that, I told her, if he would not fall, we would never find the tick. And then chas v'shalom, that would be 10 times worse. So sometimes what Hashem does seems very negative. But if you are very aware, you see that the negative thing delivered something very positive. Sometimes we don't see it. But the way for me to be able to see it is only if I have belief, only if I have emunah. If I don't have belief in Hashem, then it will be very hard for me to distinguish between the good and the bad. Because there will be some good, some bad. But if I have 100% belief in Hashem, 100%, and again, I can't really rate my belief, but I would say here we only have 100% or not, then everything is good. Nothing is bad. It might seem very bad. It might seem very uncomfortable. Now that's the steps in life. Sometimes life have very uncomfortable steps, and I have to go through something very uncomfortable. But that's the next step that takes me to the next stage. The point I want to take from this is that I have to constantly work on my belief so I will be able to see that everything comes from Hashem. Then by default, everything will be good. Everything will be good. Every situation, every person that comes to give me a message is good. It's just my disbelief that person is not good in my life. or that situation is not good in my life, or this action is not good for me. But that just comes from my disbelief. Because when I have 100% belief in Hashem, everything is good. Every messenger that comes into my life is a good messenger. Everything that Hashem brings to me is something that is good for me in one some type of a way. So the point is not to try to dissect the situations and to pull out the good. Rather, is to go one step beyond that and just to strengthen my emunah, strengthen my belief. If I have strong belief, everything will be good. It's by default. And the way to strengthen my belief, there are many different ways, of course. But I spoke about it so many times that we are born with belief. We are born with a component of belief. It's part of our system. I can develop many things in this world, but belief, I'm born with that. The problem is that in course of life, the baby gets the shocking reality of a lie when the parents start lying to the child, the siblings, the kindergarten teacher, the school teacher, everybody starts lying to the child. Society lies to the child. And by the time the child is 14, 15, they don't believe in anything. Because everybody along the way just lied to them. Especially their parents and their loved ones and their teachers. The point is just to be able to pull out this belief from its from the depth where it's hiding. Because we all have belief. It's part of our system. And just knowing how to pull it out from the depth of my soul is this belief. And there are of course many different ways. I mean, I mentioned a couple times that by saying the benching, Birkat HaMazon, something so simple, that actually pulls out the belief out of my system. Why right now it's not so, it doesn't really matter, but when I actually pray every day, that strengthens my emunah. A lot of people say, listen, it's a very boring thing. It's the same text every day. And I don't really see results. The point is when I pray, any type of pray, that's when I'm actually pulling my belief to the surface. I'm not going to see results right away. It's not that I'm going to go out of the shul and start like dancing out of joy because now I believe. But in a very subtle way, the prayers bring the belief out to its surface. Like a treasure. That the treasure is hidden very deep in the ocean and people spend their whole life looking for treasure. There are people, scanning the bottoms of the oceans till they find the treasure. They find this ship and that ship and they know more or less where the ship sank. They go and look for it. So the treasure, the belief is my treasure. I just need to know how to scan the bottom of the ocean to pull the treasure up. So that comes through praying. One of the prayers that is very powerful to bring the belief out is Birkat HaMazon, is saying benching, which, how I mentioned many, many, many times, people try to do whatever they can to avoid benching. They'll drive half an hour to the pizzeria that sells the pizza that is mezonot just not to pray Birkat HaMazon. I mean, the Birkat HaMazon takes 5 minutes, but they'll travel half an hour to buy the pizza that is mezonot. So this is one out of many that pulls the emunah out of its source. Another thing that builds the emunah is smelling herbs. That's one of the many reasons why on Motzei Shabbat in Avdalah we smell herbs. That's why you'll go to many shuls, Sephardi shuls, they always have herbs and leaves and hadasim, and they're constantly smelling it, but smelling herbs and spices, excuse me? Hadassim. Hadass is it's one of the four species on the Sukkot. How do you call it? The name just ran out of my head. I'll tell you in a second. It's one of the four species in Sukkot. Willow? Myrtle. Hadass, yeah. Ah. I wrote in the translate Hadass, it's writing to me Hadass, but it's myrtle. I think it's myrtle. So, but any herb or any anything that grows from the ground, not perfume. One time I was stuck somewhere and we did Avdalah and somebody brings me perfume. I told him I need something to smell. So I told him, okay, this is better than nothing, but you want to smell something that is natural. So the point I want to take from this is that everything that Hashem does is good. There's no such a thing that Hashem does something bad. Sometimes the steps, the events, they're all negative, but to lead me into something positive. The point is not to try to develop a system how to see the good in everything. A, you can actually meditate on the facts and try to constantly be positive and constantly see the good in everything than the bad. I missed the bus, okay, because on the next bus I'm gonna, maybe we'll be more safe. Or, you know, I always give the same story with my friend that he's very stubborn when it comes to mitzvot, and I'm constantly trying to convince him to put tefillin on, to eat kosher, to keep Shabbat. And I always make a connection to the mitzvah with how it's going to benefit him. So he has a lot of businesses, and he's very into business, he likes money. So I always somehow connect it to money. And I told him for months, I was trying to convince him to eat kosher, and I told him, you know, if you eat kosher, you'll have success in your business. I don't even know where I came up with that one, but I was like, okay, it got him to do it. But for many months, one time he was eating kosher, one time he was not eating kosher. And I was always pointing out, you see, you're not eating kosher, you don't have success in that business deal. One time, out of the blue, I get a message from him, a text message, and he tells me, from now on, everything you tell me to do, I'm going to listen to you. I was like, ooh, I like that. And I told him why, what made the change. So he tells me, you know how you were trying to convince me constantly to eat kosher? And I was like, yeah. He's like, listen, to be honest, the last couple months I wasn't eating kosher. But, you know, it was sitting on my conscience, and today I wasn't having a good day, and business is not doing that great. And suddenly I was like, you know what? Alon always keeps telling me to eat kosher. So I decided to eat kosher today, and I drove half an hour. He lives in Los Angeles. I drove half an hour to a kosher restaurant. And I was like, ooh, great. And he tells me, but you know why I'm going to listen to you from now on? Because I was sitting in the kosher restaurant eating kosher food, and behind me, these two guys are talking about a certain real estate place, like a place that is not on the market yet, but it's about to come on the market very soon. And I was overhearing their conversation, and I just now closed the deal of the century, because the piece of this real estate didn't go on the market yet. And he was able to buy this lot for much, much cheaper, because once it would go on the market, they would just start auctioning it. And he flipped it right away, and he made a very big deal, like a very large amount. And he said, now, see, I attributed that I drove half an hour to the kosher food, that I heard or overheard the deal, and I made this big business deal. So A, he said, now I'm going to listen to everything that you have to tell me. I see how I ate kosher, it brings success in business. And not only that, he was able to see how Hashem was able to take him from one station to another station, like chains of events, to be able to bring him to one point to prove to him that everything actually that comes from Hashem is good. The journey is bad. That's usually the case. The journey doesn't look so good, or might be difficult or challenging, but it depends on the destination, not on the journey. The journey is also important. You want the journey to be soft. But if the destination is going to be successful, that's what Hashem says. I want your destination to be good. If you're late to the plane, late here, late there, here you lost something, here something happened on the way, that's less relevant. It's the destination, what happens on the destination. And the point to understand is that everything that Hashem does is good. There's a saying in the Talmud, Kol man de rachman avid letav avid. Everything that Hashem does, He does for the good. We're just not able to see it. A, you can work on the fact that you can see the positive in everything. Any person that comes to you, it's very easy to right away get upset. And there's also, you know, sometimes It's not convenient. Sometimes people come late at night. They come really in the middle of dinner. Finally, you sat down to read your book. They come, and you get annoyed. Why is he coming now? But if you have the attitude that every event is pre-organized by the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and there's a good reason why that person came, and if you just have a positive outlook of every little thing, then the message will become in a much more positive way. And the point is to notice everything that Hashem does is good. I just have to be able to see that good in it. Even if I don't see the good in it, I have to have the belief that it comes from Hashem. And the way to do it is just to empower my belief. Not to try to look directly at something, because in most cases I'm not going to see the good there. And it's just going to bring me into a more of a turmoil of confusion. Rather to say, no, I'm going to humble myself in front of Hashem. Everything that Hashem does is good. And I'm just going to accept it as it is. And down the line, I will see the good in it. Sometimes I'm only going to see after a year or 5 years the good in something. Sometimes it will take me half my life to be able to see something and look back, oh, 40 years ago, now I understand why Hashem did this and that. The point is to give an opportunity, to give Hashem a chance. And the way to do it, the best way to do it is just to work on my belief. When I have a lot of belief to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, by default, everything is going to become more smooth and more obvious. And if I don't see that, means that I have a problem with my emunah, with my belief. If you remember in the class that just said, we said that I told you it's like a chain of events. You have belief, it will cause you to see everything positive, you'll be happy. And then once you're happy, then your belief will become even more stronger, because you don't have the negative power in you that will bring you down. So ultimately we want to be happy. We are creatures that are constantly looking for happiness. And we think that our happiness is based on our physical situation. But the happiness comes from within. When I'm 100% happy, it means that I believe in Hashem, that everything, doesn't matter what's going to happen, I still will be happy. So Bezrat Hashem, Hashem should help you all, shall help us to be able to build our belief and to be able to see very clear how everything is positive and everything comes from Hashem is positive. And when I see the positive in everything, then I'm able to actually empower the positive. If I see the negative in things, then I will empower the negative. There's a famous Hasidic term that if you think good, then it will be good. If I think negative, then I empower the negative in it. The Baal Shem Tov explained why is it so negative to say Lashon Hara? Because I'm now pumping up the bad that I'm talking in that person. That bad exists in that person. And whatever he did exists, but when I'm talking about it, it's like I'm emphasizing it. I'm putting a colorful marker, so to highlight it. I put two lines underneath. Some now, it's more, you know, in the olden days, you talk in the old terminology, you put a marker on something. In our days, you make the letters bold. Bold, italic, and underline. So why am I making the letters bold? To emphasize these letters. So if I emphasize something negative, then the negative will be bold and out there. If I emphasize it in the positive, then the positive will be now dominating and bold. The point is just to know how to direct what I'm emphasizing. And there's always going to be throughout my day some bad things, but look at the good things. Now when you have the nature of constantly pointing out the good, yeah, I have 50% bad or 60-80% bad. But if I know how to point on the 20% that is good, suddenly the 20% becomes the dominating. And it's not about the quantity, it's rather the quality. I can have 10% good, but the quality of the good overpowers the 90% of the negative. So Bezrat Hashem, we should always see the good in everything. And even though that we're stuck in this horrible exile, there's something good to see from it. I can grow more, I can achieve more. Very soon Mashiach is going to come, we're not going to have that anymore. They say, our sages say that once Mashiach is going to come, we're going to miss the exile, because that's when I'm able to develop, that's when I'm able to grow, that's when I'm able to change. Once Mashiach comes, that's it. Whatever you did, you did. You're stuck over there. Every day in exile is an opportunity. I'm able to grow more, I can achieve more, I can change more, I can refine myself more. There's never an end to how much I can refine myself. So, A, yes, we have to look at the negative and to understand we are in exile, but still, we are in exile. Let me make the best out of the worst situation. We should always carry this positive attitude that by default will make us happy. And Bezrat Hashem, Hashem should bless us with the ultimate happiness and positivity and seeing the coming of Mashiach with our own eyes.